Mike in particular, Mary told me she wasn't invited for the first 10 or 15 years of this relationship with the study group, but Mike and Mary have been a cornerstone of pastoral care, if I could use that term, for this group for over 40 years. And we wanted to just take an opportunity to recognize that, and maybe just a quick show of hands for those of you guys and gals that have been around for any length of time. How many would feel that you have been positively affected in some way by the ministry of Mike and Mary? Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. Mike in particular and Mary in her own way over the past 40 plus years have played the role as pastor to this group, not only during the study group time, but during the round table conference, on the floor of the round table, throughout the year, facilitating conference calls. We'll talk a little bit about that later this afternoon. Countless phone calls with individuals that they've developed relationships with. Countless hours at the conference or at study group time, just one-on-one, whether it was a marriage situation that was falling apart, whether it was somebody that was dealing with some significant financial issues. I know nobody in this room could appreciate that. Whether it was relationship issues in business, countless times that our membership over the years has chosen and felt led to speak with Mike, or in some cases Mike and or Mary has just felt the Spirit nudging them that they should approach somebody, and wouldn't you know it, there was an engagement and ministry happening. Mike and Mary both have been awesome, faithful prayer warriors over the years, and without the prayers and the time that they have invested in this group, who knows where this group would be today. So we wanted to just ask them a few questions, recognize them, and then I want to close with a time of prayer for them. So the first question, how did you guys first get connected with the study group? And maybe more importantly, why are you still with us? These don't need to be 30-minute messages.
Give him the mic. Give him the mic. Yeah, sure, Brad.
Was that an instruction, or was that?
That was an instruction.
Well,
put it up
where your mouth. I first got to know about the study group through Bill Lindsay. Bill Lindsay was the guy that was one of the five guys that started the meeting of the study group, and the other five guys, I can't really remember all their names. One of them is a very famous man in the MDRT who had turned down becoming the president of the MDRT because he didn't want to spend his time working through the chairs to do the job. They wanted him, and he worked through them all, and he came up to the point where God had convicted him about this, and he said, I don't want to spend the rest of my time being the president of the study group. I want to spend the rest of my time, being involved in planting a testimony here for Jesus Christ. And that came as a result of listening to Woody Woodall speak at the 1970 meeting in Hawaii, when he stood on the platform of Hawaii, and he set aside his speech that had been approved by the executive committee, and he said, I'm not going to go by these notes. In his mind, at least, he said that. He said, I'm going to tell them what I'm really thinking. And he stood out on the platform, and he confessed to that whole crowd of guys that were, and women were not the major emphasis in those days, but there were women there too. And he said, I have been changed by knowing Jesus Christ. He has become my personal Savior and has changed my motivation. I don't want to sell insurance anymore. I want to go to Bible school and preach the Word of God. And as he stood there on that platform, the executive committee was astonished to hear anybody whose speech they had approved depart entirely from the speech.
Amen.
and not even announce he was going to do it because he didn't know he was going to do it. What happened to Woody was he became filled with the Holy Spirit at that point, and he began to speak as he had to speak. And he did speak, and they had actually been so shocked that they will not even record what he said in the speeches that are available from the early days of his experience in the MDRT. We tried to get his speech back, but we can't quite get it. They do admit that he said something about being converted and Jesus Christ and all of that. That's a very short, brief message, but he upset the whole study group when he spoke. And as a result, there are guys sitting in MDRT when he spoke. And as a result, the guys sitting out there that were Christians looked around and they said, "Wow, what are we doing to be a testimony to Jesus Christ in the middle of the $1 million roundtable?" They got together. There are five of them, I think, that got together, among which was Bill Lindsay and George Morris and three others, one from Kansas, a guy from Kansas. Sweetest guy I've ever seen. And he was a fellow that had committed himself to this. And the guy who had been tabbed to be the president of the MDRT, he met with him. And they all agreed, we've got to do something to establish a Christian testimony in a fellowship that will keep promoting the name of Jesus Christ in the middle of the MDRT. Well, Bill Lindsay came to me. Now, Bill and I had met when I met him through Bill Bright. I went up to the I went up to Forrest's home, and I asked Bill Bright, who can I talk to about financial guidance? He said, I'd suggest you take the guy that just has helped us form the foundation, he's done a lot for us in managing the board's thoughts about Campus Crusade for Christ. He's a man who's a $1 million roundtable member, and you should go see Bill Lindsay. So I went to see Bill Lindsay, and Bill said, I'll come down to Santa Ana, California, and I'll give you some ideas about what to do about life insurance. And I met him in my house in Santa Ana, and he explained to me what I needed to do, and he sold me a $5,000 policy of life insurance in my living room that day. And when he did, he gave me a metal box that was a lock box for my life insurance policy that was handed out gratis because he wanted me to buy more policy.
And fill that box up.
And I filled it up with everything but life insurance. But Bill and I struck up a fellowship in Christ that was so warm and so welcome to me that I had no idea it was warm and welcome to him as well. He had just come into the life insurance business. He had become a member of the MDRT. He thought the world of the guys that had invited him to lead in forming this study group. So he called me on the phone. Bill had come down to my church in Santa Ana, where I preached every Sunday, and he would come down and he would sit there and listen to me preach. And as I preached, he asked me to come to his house and lead a Bible study, which I did. But he liked the style in which I listened to people and drove them into the Bible study and found out how best to feed them the Word of God. And so he said, Mike, I've discussed with these guys this formation of a study group, and we're going to do it, but we don't have anybody to facilitate the meeting. And he said, it's going to be a tough job because whoever comes in has to be somebody who's flexible enough to listen to what they're saying before he starts talking. And he said, so far, I don't know of any preacher that will come in and listen until he knows what to say to them. So he said, I think you could do that. Would you be willing? I said, I'd be more than willing. I didn't know what I was getting into. He invited the first study group to meet, met with 10 men. One of them was George Morris, and one of them was the guy from Kansas. Another one was the guy from the fellow that was the to be the president of the Million Dollar Roundtable, etc., who had denied that, and he denied the opportunity. But the rest of the guys, they snored like horses. We all slept in the same upstairs room in Hav Larson's cabin, he called it, a cabin at Big Bear. This cabin was huge. It must have been a 13,000-square-foot cabin up there on the lake, at Big Bear Lake. And the reason he wanted us to use his cabin was he said, I'm going to speak on the platform this coming year at the round table. And he said, I've already sent him in my written speech, what I'm going to say and everything, and I want you guys to use this cabin. Well, we used the cabin. We got up there, and I didn't sleep a wink because I didn't know who to shut up or cram an apple down their throat, keep them from snoring so loud. It was so loud. We had to pray to sleep. So we got through that first study group with 10 guys that when we sat in a circle, I was the least of all these guys. I had no idea what they were doing. And they were leaders in the Million Dollar Roundtable because of their huge productivity. They had great productivity. George Morris was the guy who led the Prudential for 30, 40 years as the head of the Prudential in sales and productivity. And he was there with other guys that just would have given their eye teeth to be in the same room with George Morris.
So and why did you invite Mary?
I didn't invite Mary at all. I left Mary at home because no women were invited to the study group. That was their policy. And so that's where we started. 10 men and the Bible. And me sitting there with ten men, and Bill had told me, you'll have to speak up because they won't ask you to speak. When they start talking, they'll start, and they're going to give it all they got, and you're going to have to break in and ask them if they got start teaching them somewhere. And that's how I started in the study group.
Mary, your comments. Don't feel you have to be longer than that.
I just like to support Mike, what he does, and I didn't mind not going, actually. 10 these two snoring men, I'm sorry.
The reason they didn't invite any women is because no women would be allowed to sleep with those snoring men. But they didn't invite them for 10 years. And we had a great study group. And when it was Herb Schaefer that invited the women, and I was very much against it. I didn't say a word about inviting them. I didn't endorse inviting them. I'll tell you why. Because when men get alone in a room together with no women, they say things that they would not ever say with those women in present. And that's what kept us going for 10 years. You cut me off here.
I did.
Yeah.
I understand. So we're on the clock, Mike. So quickly, why do you keep connected with us?
Because the pay is so good.
The pay is so good. Hey, you blew my cover.
We're thinking of doubling it next year.
Don White is always blowing my cover. This guy. And
stay focused.
It's because of the salary. Go ahead.
Why does he remain?
Why do you guys?
Because his whole life in ministry is personal work. That's what he does. He is upward bound. He just moves around everywhere and shares the Lord with men and teaches and trains, and I'm happy that he does that. And sometimes I go with him, but I couldn't come here for 10 years. I'm happy to be here though today.
I'm stirred up, Schiff, of all people.
When I look out and see you men, I come alive. You're the reason I'm here. This is my 45th year. And I'll tell you what, I've never had such a great 45 years.
Don't they?
Yep.
Some more than others.
So, Mike, looking back over 45 years, this is a tough question because I know there has been hundreds, if not thousands, of interactions and times that God has used you or you and Mary to make a difference. Is there one incident that you could, or one journey with somebody that you could, without naming names, just give us a little bit of insight as to how God used you to make a difference in that life?
Well, I think more than anything, it's hard to remember. Because you don't think of it that way. Mm-hmm. Never think of it that way.
Let me think a minute. We've been in several of your homes, and we fellowship beautifully with everyone. Guy Baker especially. This summer we'll be back, spending a few days with him until he kicks us out. We've been in other homes here, and we just love to share the Lord. That's what we do.
I had Bill Lindsay came to me one year. He said, I'm in touch with a new guy in the MDRT. He'll be there this year, and I'm going to bring him to the study group, and I want you to talk with him. He's having a hard time in his marriage. And I said, okay. He said, we'll go out to eat at the Hyatt Hotel, sit down, have dinner. And he said, he's going to be there, and you don't know him, but he's a great guy, evidently. And I went with him, sat down at the hotel. They had fabulous food, as you know. And I had ordered some venison steak, and I was going to eat that only after I met this guy. I would forego food to talk with a man. And so I had no idea what kind of marriage he had or what kind of troubles he had. But I knew what it was to have troubles in a marriage. And my wife knows that I've had trouble in our marriage. And if you haven't had trouble in a marriage, you haven't been married long enough.
Six weeks, no problem.
And you think you're an angel because you're not like I am, see? I've been married for a long time now, 59 years.
Wow.
To the right woman, because she stuck with me. But I've had almost hellacious problems with a marriage. And when you're the pastor of a church, you have greater problems with a marriage, because you have problems you can't talk with anybody about. And nobody wants to hear anything about it because you're a pastor. And I walked many nights along the beaches in Southern California, shaking my fist to heaven, saying, God, there's a solution to this, but you haven't given it to me yet. So I knew what it was like. But I sat with this fellow, and after he talked a while, I just determined that I'd let him talk. And I said, well, tell me about your marriage. Who's your wife, etc. He began to take off on his wife. He said, she's turned religious on me. She is constantly telling me I need to go to church. She said, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. But he says, I want to know, why do I have to put up with such a religious wife? And then he began to criticize everything she said, everything she did. And I didn't say a word. And as I listened, I thought about myself, and I thought about the place he was. And as he got down to a pausing spot, I said, how long have you had your mistress? And he was shocked. This guy knew me, didn't even know me as much as I know about Adam. And he looked at Bill Lindsay. He was so shocked. He turned to Bill, who was silent and scared to death over there in his seat. And he said, he turned to Bill. He said, he thinks I've got a mistress. He thinks I'm a two-timer. I have a girlfriend. I don't have a mistress. He says this to Bill. He hits it to Bill. He won't speak to me. And then he turns back. He gets quiet because I don't interrupt him. And I say, at what stage is this affair with this woman? Are you at the jewelry phase? Or the lingerie phase? Are you at the dirty talk phase? What is this relationship with your mistress? And he turned again to Bill. He said, mistress, he thinks I've got a mistress and I've been doing things like that. He said, that's crazy. I don't know anything about this mistress. And I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your mistress wants you for your money. She's not interested in you. She hates your wife because she loves your wife because your wife is the thing that keeps you from releasing yourself to her. She's going to fall in love with her boss because he's got money and leadership. And she's going to try to use him to get where she wants to go. But he's going to leave town and she's going to follow him. She's going to dump you like a hot potato. And you're going to go after her thinking she wants you. And you're going to leave your family, your church, your fellowship, your practice of great service in the $1 million round table. And you are going to be a miserable man for the rest of your life because of this woman. And he said, I've had a mistress for 3 years. And she is not going to leave me. She loves me. I love her. We've never had a love like that together. I said, no mistress has ever had a love like that, which involves her in loving your money. I said, she loves your money more than you do. And she is going to go after that money. And he refused to listen. He sat there at the table. He heard the whole scenario. And we finished dinner and left. And I said, thank you. I'm glad to meet you. He was a handsome young man, right out of the service, a big man. And he went out of my life. And I came back to the $1 million round table next year, next year, next year, next year. And then I told the $1 million round table guys in the study group about it. And I said, just pray for this guy. Bill Lindsay prayed for him. He followed him through the years. Then I came to the breakfast that study group year. I went down to the middle of the auditorium and sat there in the dining room area. I was to give the closing to the breakfast, and I did give the closing to the breakfast. And I sat back down in my chair, and as we were dismissed, I stood up from my chair and I felt two arms go around me from behind. They locked my arms in together and he squeezed me and he leaned up to my ear and he said, everything you said was going to happen, happened. He said, I have been miserable. And he said, I want you to know, my wife has divorced me. My children won't speak to me. I had to leave that church. But he said, I'm going to walk with God. And he said, thank you, thank you. And he released me and he disappeared in the crowd and he went about his way. That's one of the most significant moments I've had as a result of one-on-one with brothers at the study group. I know what men go through. And I know what it is to be a failure. And I know what it is to be a success in the spiritual life and in the married life. And that gives me great joy, but it gives me a joy that I have to share because I know what God has permitted me to have those experiences. Thank you.
So, I would encourage anybody who has the boldness or the confidence or the braveness to come and speak to Mike over the next couple of days. Mike and or Mary would love to be able to just journey with you while you're here. One last, I'm not done, Mike.
No.
Don't run away.
This is a hot seat up here.
It's getting hot.
Don't run away, man.
So one quick question. You've been around us for 45 years. There is a distinct possibility that 45 years from now, you may not be with us.
That's true.
We may not be with
That's
us.
That's encouraging.
What would you say, just in a few words, what would your vision be for us, for the study group, going forward?
No pressure.
Do you have anything?
Well, I think it's a great success, and I think it should continue as it is, but the personal relationships are very important.
I think the greatest thing you can do is take the leadership that you have and follow them. Really pray for these guys that are on the board. Pray that their wisdom will increase, that they will begin to do things that have never been done before here. And it will be done because they love Jesus Christ. These men are faithful to the Word of God, and they want to see this group develop into something of such substance that nobody in the MDRT will miss the fact that the MDRT has a study group within it that's a Christian study group. I met a guy in Florida who for 35 years was a member of the Million Dollar Roundtable. He went to every single meeting of the MDRT. He was the only man in State Farm Insurance who had the sales ability to become a life member and was there every year to learn more, and he was thrilled with the MDRT. During that period of time, he became a Christian, but he had never heard that there was a Christian fellowship study group. And he never came to a meeting of ours. He never heard of it because the MDRT didn't promote it, but because the members in the study group were just getting their feet wet, he had never heard of it. I feel like we were losers without his presence in this room. But there are lots of them out there like that. Lots of men today that are there. I used to stay here for the full term of the study groups ending and the beginning of the MDRT. And I would sneak into the platform sessions and I'd listen to the speakers and I'd spy the guys around the place that I knew and I'd met before who'd passed through the study group. And I spent the whole week here with them trying to chase them down when they travel from one meeting to the next. And I would have great success with them. I'd go down to the exhibit hall, and I would do all this as much as I could within the undercover of an acceptable way to gain entry. But as a result, I found out that most guys, when they leave the group, they don't go about speaking and intersecting with people who are in need out there so much. A few do, and many would lead people to Christ, and when they lead them to Christ, they bring them back to the study group. So this is a great point of departure for me, that we would always begin to think of ourselves as a missionary group inside a great mission field to touch the lives of men and women who need to know the vibrancy of Jesus Christ in this study group. Amen. Hope that'll happen.
That is the awesome vision and a huge challenge to all of us. Don't get up. You're not going anywhere yet. We're not done with you. You guys have talked a lot about the origin of the study group, initial focus on the men that have been in the business over the past few years. We've thankfully invited the ladies to join us, and they're adding some significant value to our meeting. So know that you are appreciated for being here. also that there's an increasing number of women who are in the business from all over the world that could benefit from the same types of things that we, the guys, have benefited over the years. So to the ladies that are here, welcome, and I just would encourage you, as you head out to the floors of MDRT, that you would spread the word just as some of the guys have done over the years. So thank you. The last thing that we want to do, Mike and Mary wouldn't naturally share this, but like a bunch of us in the room, they've had a tough year, some health issues, family issues, just a whole bunch of stuff that they probably wouldn't talk about, but I have a sense that they might appreciate a few people just coming behind them. One thing we do often around here is just when somebody's going through some tough times, just we come around, we lay hands on them, and then we actually get serious and pray for them. So if you've journeyed with these guys, or maybe you've just met them, if you'd like to come up and just stand behind Mike and Mary, we would like to pray for them. We'd like to pray for healing. We'd like to pray for strength, for endurance, and we know God's not finished with them yet. So maybe just a few of you, just some short prayers. And Guy, could I ask you, when it gets painfully quiet, just to close us off in a prayer of blessing for Mike and Mary.
Said that a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Lord, this is your leader and your servant. We thank you for your abundant provisions, just coming alongside, edifying, building, holding up his arms as he tires, just restoring. Thank you.
So loyal, so close, and so loving. We're so grateful for that. Just strengthen him. Make his rest of his days be strong and convicted in the Lord, as he has always been.
And I command him to continue to ride that wave. And Jesus provides for that faith and love and peace. Always. But anything for us, help us. Lord, help us.
Father, I pray your healing touch, your touch in Mike's body. By the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray healing from the top of his head to the toes. With miracles of healing and presence and peace and the grace to love him, to be believing in him that she loves well. Bless them and pray healing in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Father, you said that your presence will be like. Father, we hear the name of Jesus and say, Lord, let this, the health of your son, be a blessing. We command each and every part of his body to be aligned with God's way. For you have sent your word and it healed it. Father, we ask you that for to send that very word right now. And Father, you say you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you walk with your son up to the last day, Lord. You give all the desires of his heart. Father, you see prophecies come to pass in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of Mike and Mary. So glad they have been so faithful. We praise you and thank you for their ministry and what they taught us. Father, we pray you will continue to provide their needs spiritually.
Oh Lord, it's so good to be among the brethren.
Well, Father God, we know that you are blessed by our prayers. We know, Lord, that you protect your children and those who are faithful to you, Father. You are more than faithful to them. And you can tell, Lord, by the many hands that are surrounding both Mike and Harriet today, how loved they are, Lord. And the prayers of your people are going up to protect them and to offer up thanksgiving and praise for their service and for their time that they've invested for lo these many years, 45 years. We also know, Lord, that Satan hates when you glorify him. He hates it. He flees, Lord, from those that are being blessed and glorified and prayed for. So we pray, Father, that these prayers would be a hedge of thorns around Mike and Mary for the rest of their lives. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that they've been to us. And we pray, Father, that you would just protect them with this prayer cover for now on. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mike and Mary.
You let him get out of the seat. That's the problem.
Too good for this. Just to do that. But we could. But no.
That's fine. Let's just do this.
Praise God from whom all blessings.